Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Don't touch your sets. Don't touch your dials. Don't turn it off. You might want to blast it up full crank because it's Super Bowl week and the playbook is back on Patriots.com radio. Welcome into the program. It's a strange time, I know. I never get the chance to lead off the day's programming, which is fantastic, first and foremost. PFW guys will be here starting at 2 p.m. Eastern time. This week, as you well know, and first of all, thank you for tuning in today to get your very latest, and we got a lot that we will get to today. But first, a lot of stuff to make up. The first thing we want to say is we've managed to dig out of the Snowmageddon storm that hit the Northeast here right after the PFW guys and the team pretty much left for Arizona and following the parade a couple of days ago on Monday. We were hit where I live in a little town called Berkeley, which is just south of Taunton. If you know anything about Massachusetts, right off of Route 24, about 30 minutes or so away from where I am right now here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. We were hit with about 30 inches of snow. Bristol County, Massachusetts, where Berkeley's located, was officially at 26 plus. But in my little neck of the woods, off the beaten path, we were at about 30 inches. And we were still digging out last night until some kind soul came by with a plow because the people that I pay to plow did not show up. And I was very much worried that I would not be able to get out of my own garage again today because the guys are kind of like, oh, we didn't know. So thank you to the kind gentleman who came by with his plow and got us out. The roads are actually in pretty good shape, so congratulations to actually everybody who lives in Massachusetts and in nearby Rhode Island as well, because there were states of emergency in both states over the last 24 to 36 hours. That shut down all of the roads, and if you were out on the road and you didn't get pulled over, you were lucky. But if you did get pulled over, you faced a $500 fine. And I'm sorry, I love you, and I love everybody here, and I love all the fans that we get a chance to talk to. I'm not risking a $500 fine to get to the studio. Now, the roads were really pretty crappy, to be honest with you. I mean, anytime you're going to get from 2 to 3 feet of snow, it's going to take a while. But because people stayed off of the road and paid heed to the travel bans and the states of emergency issued by both the Massachusetts Governor Baker and Rhode Island Governor Raimondo, the crews were able to get out and do their jobs. Isn't that the mantra for the week? Do your job? Of course it is. And so the roads are actually in pretty good shape today. Gave myself a little extra time to get into the studio. And our boy Zach Lane is here running the controls today. And if you want to pick up the phone and get on the show here today, Zach's the guy you're going to talk to. Kevin is with the PFW guys in Arizona, traveled out there with them, and they will be here at 2 p.m. Eastern time today. The reason that we have the screw it up, you know, times, if you will, is because a lot of it has to do with the access the PFW guys are going to get, and obviously because they are 2 hours behind us. They're in the mountain time zone. So right now it's just 10 a.m. in the morning. Dare I say, Fred and Andy have even rolled out of bed yet. I don't know. Who knows? I'm sure they have because we've already had Patriots press conferences from Phoenix earlier today. And we'll get that stuff, I'm sure, posted up on the website if it's not up already. I just haven't checked the homepage. So we'll be here from noon until 2 Eastern time today, and then those guys will take over at 2 p.m. Eastern with their regular edition of PFW in Progress. And, of course, they are coming to you from the Patriots team headquarters, some 15 miles outside of downtown Phoenix and all the mayhem that's going on in and around the Super Bowl 49 festivities and Radio Row, if you will, where all the nation's media is normally gathered. And if you're listening to, you know, any of the, your local radio stations, wherever you may be listening today, or listening to any of the Boston stations, they're all on Radio Row. They're all downtown. They're all, talking with each other, because that's where all the guests, you know, get paraded through, and that's how you're able to get a lot of the programming. They all kind of broadcast from one centralized place. Well, the PFW guys, you know, hopefully are giving you access to a place where you wouldn't normally be able to get access to, and that is the Patriots team headquarters. And that broadcast, again, will begin at 2 p.m. Eastern time today. In the meantime, in the playbook today, at our different time, Russell Baxter, Pro Football Guru himself, ProFootballGuru.com, he will join us in 25 minutes for his appearance this week. And the reason he's not on Thursday, I'll get into it in just a moment. And then Eric Friends, who normally joins us on and has joined us on Nitpick Tuesdays throughout the course of the regular season, he's going to join us today as well in the 3 o'clock hour. Listen to me. That would be the 1 o'clock hour. He'll be joining us a little after 1 p.m. Eastern time today. He covers the Patriots and the AFC East for Boston.com. And the reason I say that it's his one and only appearance this week is because of the snowstorm that enveloped most of New England, certainly southern New England, between New York into Connecticut, blasted Rhode Island, blasted southeastern Mass, right up into Boston over the course of the last 24 to 36 hours. This will be the only playbook of the week. I know you're crushed. I know you're crushed. I know you're really sad to hear that. Tomorrow at 2 p.m., Eastern time, I've got a college basketball game, because the Providence DePaul game that I was scheduled to do last night was postponed because of the snowstorm. The DePaul basketball team didn't even get in. And in fact, I believe they're en route as we speak. So because of that, I was supposed to do tomorrow's program at 4 p.m. Eastern, after the PFW guys do PFW in Progress at 2 p.m. tomorrow. But there's no way that I can get here in time, because I won't be off the air with my basketball broadcast until probably about 4:30 Eastern time tomorrow. So this is the one and only playbook for the week. And then win or lose the Super Bowl on Sunday, I'll be back for a repeat performance next week. Before we say goodbye and put a wraps to the 2014 and early 15 football season, we always do one extra show just to sort of wrap up the season after the team loses, or in this case, wins the Super Bowl. Got to think positively here. And that will be the case next week. Now, as far as next week's schedule is concerned, I'm believing, because I'll be out of town on other basketball assignments, and this is what happens this time of year. If you're relatively new to the show, I've covered college basketball and college football for the better part of the last quarter decade as well, in addition to doing this program for the last 14 years and working for the Patriots for the last 22 years. And you just juggle the balls as best you can at this time of year, whether they're inflated or deflated or however they are. And the basketball has me on the road next week, and so won't be here for Tuesday or Wednesday. So I think our playbook wrap-up will have to come next Thursday, which will be a week from tomorrow. But I'm going to go ahead and put that out there now and give you a bit of an idea so you can plan. But, you know, the PFW guys will certainly be here next Tuesday as well, as we wrap up whatever transpires at the Super Bowl on Sunday in Glendale, Arizona. All right, so for the meantime, since this is our only playbook for the week and our next-to-last broadcast for the entire football season, it's time to open up the phones, make sure that you know this is all about you today. We have to combine hashtag Nitpick Tuesday, hashtag WTF Wednesday, because that's what today is. Today is What's the Focus Wednesday. And tomorrow's program, which has always been hashtag Prediction Thursday. We got to combine all three programs again here today. And that's what we'll be doing with Russell Baxter and Eric Friends, and hopefully with you. But primarily, since this is our only program, I want you to give me your Super Bowl predictions. It's time to step up and do it. And as we've done all season long, we have allowed our listeners to the program to contribute with your score predictions for the week's upcoming games. And if you nail the score correctly, you win a copy of this year's Patriots Yearbook Media Guide. We've only given away two all season long. We did that in the regular season. I think it was the Miami week that they played here in Foxborough. And that's been it. But if you want a collector's item, because if this team and win this team, I'll be positive. I'm going to try to be positive today. When this team wins the Super Bowl on Sunday, you might need a keepsake. Say, oh, hey, look what I got. This is from the Super Bowl championship season. It is a yearbook. It is a media guide. I got it. It's mine because I correctly predicted the final score in the Super Bowl game. So if you want a shot at that, you got to send me your score. It's that simple. You can pick up the phone at 855-PATS-500. Toll-free telephone number, 855-PATS-500. That's 855-728-7500. That's the number we've had all year. That number is still good today. You want to send email? You can send email. webradio@patriots.com. All one word, webradio@patriots.com. Social media, easy to do, and I am very, very close. So excited. Very close to 3K. Got to get there. I need like 30, 32 more followers, I think. I had a couple of guys, you know, help me out by, you know, tweeting that out in the last couple of days, last couple of weeks. It's been awesome, so thank you. My goal was to try to get 3K by the end of the football season. I'm trying to do a better job with the whole social media thing, and I'm jumping into it, and you're giving me a hand. So if you haven't followed me on Twitter, time to get going. At JR Broadcaster is the handle. At JR Broadcaster. By the way, tweet me your scores, too. And in fact, that's kind of what I prefer. You can certainly send an email. I want you to pick up the phone and give me a call, and let's talk some football today. And I promise you we're going to talk football today because it seems like we haven't talked football in 2 weeks. Literally, we haven't talked football in 2 weeks because of the whole, you know, controversy thing with the deflated footballs and all that crap that's been going on. But, you know, it's been an interesting story, and maybe we'll opine on some of that in just a little bit. But the goal today is to try to talk as much football as we possibly can because we need to. It's been a long time. And it's easier for me to double-check if you've got the score correctly because I can just dip right into my own personal Twitter account rather than the email and or any other fashion. But if the email is the only way you can go or you want to post it on my Facebook page, you can do that as well. But at JR Broadcaster is the Twitter handle. If you want to find me on Facebook, and I've had literally dozens of new friends in the last couple of weeks, find me on Facebook, and I welcome every one of you. It's been awesome to have you, and welcome. It's my own personal Facebook page, as I've said many times. I'll repeat it here for newcomers today to the program. It's John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name, and if you haven't submitted the friend request, you can do that. We'll answer that, and then we can talk some football on my Facebook page. I just ask that you be careful with some of the posts that you put on because it is my own personal page, and so people, when they kind of randomly hit it, if they see stuff that could be out of character, I'm going to have the right to remove my name from the tag. That's all I'm going to tell you. So just be aware of that. But I don't do any of those fan pages. I wear my feelings on my shirt sleeve. I am who I am, as Popeye once said. And I love to talk football at any hour of the day, whether we're on the air with this program or not. I love to talk football. And everything that you send, whether it's email or a tweet or Facebook post, I read. I absolutely do. I read it all. And I'm really happy to have you. I try to answer as much of it as I humanly possibly can because I'm like you. I love information. I want to dive into it. That's why I got into the whole journalism business almost 40 years ago because I love covering stuff and I need to be in the know and I like digging and finding things out and it's a lot of fun. And it's still a challenge for me even after doing it for all these years. So you got several different ways to jump in on the program. Russell joins us in about 15 minutes. Eric Friends will join us at the top of the next hour. In the meantime, it's time for you to give me your thoughts on the game. How do you feel about the matchups? Where is this game in your estimation? You get a chance now to play all the Yahoos on NFL Network and on ESPN and any other radio station or television station that you've been watching over the course of the last week and listening to all of their opinions, whether or not you think they're full of it or you think that they're spot on. That's kind of where I'm going with this. I want to hear what you think today. Where is this game going to break down? And I need your score prediction. Time to step up, Pats fans. What do you think is going to happen? I'm actually going to start out the program today by giving you my prediction. I usually wait until the end of the show, but I'm going to start it off today by giving you my thoughts, and then we're going to get to the phones, and we're going to get to all the emails and everything else that we have today. I through the entire, you know, Deflategate thing a week ago, I got to thinking that, you know, this team, this Patriots team, wow. They do such a good job of internalizing and brushing things off and using the us against them mantra better than any other organization I think I've ever had the privilege to cover or be a part of. They really manage to pull that in. And at first I was, you know, like you, I was upset that all this stuff was going on. A, because I couldn't believe that the Patriots would stoop to that level and need that kind of protection in order to win a game that they clearly did not need the help for in wiping out the Indianapolis Colts. And then as the week progressed and the story progresses, and I'm listening to all these people on national radio and national TV use the C word, cheat. And the more I heard it, the more sickened I became. Because the reporter in me, the journalist in me, tells me, how can you make that leap when you don't have all of the facts? No one had the facts. We still don't have the facts. The NFL doesn't have the facts. And so I'm very happy that, A, Tom Brady stood up for himself, and he took the bullets, you know, in his press conferences last week. And that's something that Tom hasn't ever had to do before in his career. So you want to know why he looked semi-nervous last week? It's because he's never had to do that before. I'm very happy that Bill Belichick called the press conference that he did on Saturday to clear the air. I'm very happy that Robert Kraft said what he did when he arrived in Arizona a couple of days ago, because he had to. Defiantly, yes, they were defiant. But frankly, if you're the one that's having your integrity impugned like the entire free world has done, you would also, if you have any gumption about you, if you have any cojones, you're going to step up and you're going to say, hey, wait a minute, that's just not how it is. And if you have what you believe to be knowledge on your side, right on your side, and you have the truth, and you know you did nothing wrong, then you're going to want to stand up and do that. And that's all I feel like the Patriots did. I don't think they would have done that had they believed there was a shadow of a doubt that something untoward took place. I don't believe that for a minute. And that's because I've worked with these people for more than 20 years. And that's my own personal aspect, if you will, my own personal story where this is involved. And now that we're on to football, and now that the NFL, you know, seems to, you know, they've you know, hired all these, you know, experts and got lawyers, and they're doing independent investigation, Ted Wells, Jeff Pasch, all these people that now have come into the fold from the NFL. First of all, I'm not terribly confident that the NFL is going to do a thorough enough job or even an accurate job, because the NFL, let's face it, kids, the NFL has had a losing season this year. And I think we all know exactly what we're talking about here. So my confidence is not exactly high in the National Football League doing the job that they need to do. I'm hopeful that somehow they can pick themselves up by the bootstraps and do this the right way. But this latest thing that was, you know, put out there yesterday by Jay Glazer about, you know, the ball boy, you know, and we got this hashtag rogue ball boy thing going on again, and, you know, had the balls leave the left of the locker room, went into a bathroom, came out 90 seconds later. Honestly, that's the videotape that the Patriots turned over to the NFL. Do you really think the NFL, that the Patriots would have turned all of this over if there was something untoward, something that, you know, they want the NFL to get to the bottom of this. They want the NFL to see how stupid this entire thing is. And if you're listening for the first time and you follow the Seahawks or you follow another team and you're just curious, you want to, you know, I can understand why you think, oh, this guy's just another homer. I'll make no bones about it, okay? Like I said, I've worked with this team for 22 years. We've been doing this radio program for 14 years. We've been way out ahead of the curve over anybody else on this thing. Not only internet radio and programming like this, but even in covering this story. And it's because we've chosen to hold back and wait until what? The facts present themselves. It's called journalism, folks. That's what I've made a career of. Yes, a team can hire me, and I will give my opinion. And those of you that have followed this program regularly, you know that I have never been afraid to call the Patriots out on the carpet, on anything. And I was ready to do that. In fact, if you listened to the programs last week, you know we did that. We certainly did do that. But I refuse to believe that it was as cut and dried as the national media, and sometimes in some cases international media, was making it out to be. I refuse to believe it. Because the facts did not exist. And people are just yapping. They're flapping gums. And that's not right. That's not how a reporter goes about his or her job. Now, I understand the need because of the immediacy of social media and Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff that's out there. I understand the need for any little thing that comes out to run with it because you don't want to be left behind. And sometimes bosses come to you and say, hey, this so-and-so station or this so-and-so paper or this so-and-so website, you know, tweeted this out an hour ago. How come you don't have it? And these are things that I teach my journalism students at Emerson College in Boston. You have to stick to your facts. You have to stick to what you know. You cannot go with rumor and innuendo because that can damage people. It can also cost jobs and livelihoods. And, you know, when in doubt, don't. It's that simple. You got to follow journalistic practices so you can keep your integrity intact. And really, that's all that we've done here. Because that's what I do, it's what our PFW guys do, it's what we all do. We talk about it because we know it's interesting and because we know you want to know. And we give you our opinions because that's what we're paid to do. We give you our opinion. But when you want to know the facts, we're going to give you that as well. The facts are, it's going to take a while longer. There's really nothing we can do about it. So let's talk some football. 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcast or Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Many different ways you can get us here in the program. Phone lines are getting loaded up here, and let's start it off with Max in San Diego. Max, you're in the playbook.
John, how you doing?
I'm good, Max. How's it going, pal?
Outstanding, man. Hey, by the way, nice job with the send-off rally. That was awesome. I was watching it at work.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That's always a lot of fun. We had probably 3,000 or 4,000 hardy souls in sub-zero temperatures that, you know, braved the elements out on Boston City Hall Plaza on, when was that, Monday? Yeah, today's Wednesday. I can't remember what day today is, Max. So it was a lot of fun, and it was good to be up there with the guys and the cheerleaders and the drumline and Mr. Kraft and Coach Belichick, and it was kind of neat. And I'm glad that the city of Boston wanted to do that because these guys, this team, they deserve it, especially. They deserved it anyway, but especially in light of the controversy that they've had to basically swallow their true feelings about, knowing that, you know, they feel like we've done nothing wrong here, and, you know, and they've had to take all these bows and arrows from all over the country. So that part of it was good as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And here's the other thing that really needs to be, I don't know if the message has been taken to the team or not, but, you know, I don't know if they're listening or not to this. But if they're listening, I hope they are, just know one thing. One thing's been trending around Twitter, and myself and a good friend of mine out here for our fan club in San Diego, we started it. Hashtag one family.
Okay, good.
That's what we are as Patriot Nation. We are one family. So everybody's hate, all the hate that you've heard around the league, around the media, you know, people from other teams, even some bandwagon Pats fans that are jumping off the bandwagon, because they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand the idea of cold, hard facts of evidence. So if they want to jump off the bandwagon, that's fine. Let them go. We need to get rid of the garbage anyway.
Right.
So they want to go, that's fine. Just as long as they know we're behind them, all of us. All of us that have been there with them since week two, we're staying with them. There's no way we're leaving them now.
Always good to hear that, Max. Always good to hear that. And I think, you know, the players and the coaches, I think they all know that because I think, you know, Patriot fans are as dedicated and as loyal as any group of fans in the country with any sports team anywhere. I mean, I've always put Patriot fans, honestly, even though I don't like them, I always put Patriot fans up there with Yankee fans. Because, Yankee fans have always been obnoxious. But why are they obnoxious? Because that team wins. That franchise wins. And so I've always put Patriot fans right on a par with Yankee fans just because they can be. They have a right to be a little bit snooty because of the way their team has performed over the decades. And frankly, you know, the Patriots are beginning to get there. I said a couple of moments ago I was going to give you my prediction. I am going to give you my prediction. And I do believe pretty strongly right now I'm leaning to 23-20 Patriots. And the reason that I'm doing that, and again, it's not so much, you know, that I'm a homer or anything else. It's because I think that the Patriots match up pretty doggone well, and if they can just slow down Marshawn Lynch, not completely contain him, but I'll tell you who really worries me more with his legs is Russell Wilson. I'm a little concerned about his ability to get outside the pocket. And to me, I think that's where this entire game hinges. If he gets outside the pocket and makes the game happen with his legs, the Patriots are in position to be beaten on Sunday. And certainly the Seahawks are going to have a chance to walk away and win their second Super Bowl in a row. But if they could keep him hemmed in, I think as long as, you know, Lynch doesn't get himself a big gainer, you know, and I'm talking about, you know, that 20-plus yard type of gain, then I think the Patriots match up pretty well man-to-man because they can match up man-to-man. And I don't think there's any way, honestly. Cam Chancellor maybe potentially against Rob Gronkowski if that's how they decide to go. I'm not sure that they can man up against the Patriot receivers. There's a lot of different targets there. The offensive line gives Tom time to throw the ball. I think the Patriots can score some points. The X factor in this game, of course, is turnovers and field position. You cannot give them freebies. You cannot give them good field position. Right. If you win that game and you win the battle of the red zone and you can convert in the red zone, Patriots are going to be Super Bowl champs.
Absolutely. There's a couple other things I wanted to add to that, and I'll give you my prediction really quick here. I know you want to get to all the other calls. So the one thing I think going into this game that not everybody's accounted for is you tally up all the hate, you tally up all the talking by both sides, mainly by the Seahawks, Sherman, and Jeremy Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they want to run their mouths, that's fine. You know, I'm going to quote one of my favorite generals, even though he's an Army general, I'm a Marine, he's still one of my favorite generals. What did George Patton say? You know, I actually pity these poor bastards we're going up against. Well, I'm going to tell you now. I pity these poor bastards, and the reason why I pity them is because the more you run your mouth, the more you piss off our team and our quarterback, the more you're going to have a bullseye on your back.
Right.
So I say, go ahead, just keep going. Let the hate flow through you. Let it keep coming.
We sent out that internet meme last week, Max.
Yeah, I know. But I still got it. It's on my computer. I've been getting all kinds of grief from people at work. You know, they're just playing with me, and I tell them, you know, they're talking about Deflategate and everything, and I say, you mean Crygate?
Winegate, yes, absolutely. Winegate, yeah, Losergate, whatever you want to call it, gate. It's really been ridiculous because there isn't anything out there. They're not gonna get the Patriots on anything, and that's why the whole thing is laughable. And all these people saying cheat, cheat, cheat. They're just haters. Haters gonna hate because there's nothing that they can stick on the Patriots. Nothing.
Haters gonna hate and losers gonna lose. The way I look at it,
pretty much.
And losers going to keep losing to the Patriots. So let them hate. Let them continue to lose. But here's my prediction. My prediction is 24-21, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I think it's 24-21. The reason why I think that is because I think we can make a lot more big plays, both on all three sides of the ball. They're forgetting our special teams. Their special teams are pretty damn good too. But in the end, it's going to come down to who wants it more. More pressure is going to be on them to repeat anyway.
Agreed.
So since all the pressure is on them, at least a lot more of the pressure is on them to repeat than us, we have a lot of things going for us to go win that game. One, deep desire. You got Revis wanting to get his first ring.
Mm-hmm.
You got Browner wanting to get a little payback for all the nonsense he's had to deal with.
Sure.
And then you got Brady wanting to get his fourth ring. And a lot of the other youngsters on the team, they're fighting. They're hungry to get their first. The last thing I would say on that is a simple fact that through all this garbage that they've had to go through these past 2 weeks, John, it's ridiculous. 2 weeks they've had to go through this nonsense. All the hate and all the ugliness has done nothing but unite Patriot Nation in a way nobody's ever thought of before. So now, if I'm Seattle, I'm crapping my pants right now. Because you have no idea what Bill's going to, you have no idea the hell that Bill and Brady are going to unleash on you right now.
Well, those guys are probably eminently confident, and they probably should be, Max, because they are the defending champs for a reason. It's a very, very good football team. It's an elite defense, at least at this present time in the NFL. Probably is not a better defense. Certainly statistically, they've proven that this year. So make no mistake about it. We can be all full of bluster and confidence, and quite frankly, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. But those guys are going to play a hell of a football game. I know they are. The Patriots will be very fortunate to get out of there with a win, but I think they can.
Oh, they can definitely win. Either side, both sides has a chance to win.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I don't know why, but I have this, and I had this feeling, mind you, before they blew out the Colts the second time.
Right.
I had this feeling. I really have this really strong feeling that they're going to win, that they're going to pull it out. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I believe they're going to do it.
So okay.
If you can, do me a favor, please. Get that out there.
One you got family. It. You got it. One family, babe.
All right. Thanks, John. Have a good day.
Good to talk to you, Max. Appreciate that. Opens up a phone line at 855-PATS-500. We'll get to Russell coming up in a few minutes here. Here's Steve in Texas. Hello, Steve.
Hey, John. As I started with the PFW guys yesterday, it's great to have the best in the game in journalism and reporting as part of Pats Nation. I will never refer to you guys as media again.
Now, I think that's a compliment. Thank you.
Here's my brother Max, the Marine. He'll appreciate that. The common name of the Seahawk is actually the Osprey, and the Osprey is an endangered species. Enough said.
I like that. That's good. You gave that some thought. That's good, Steve.
But I like Max. I think it's going to come down to one big defensive play or special teams play, John, and I really see this playing out as a 21-28 game. If we can keep the contain on Wilson and get the pressure up the middle, you know, from a guy maybe like Ayers or Collins, bring in some heat there.
Right.
But, you know, as far as motivation, there's no more need for it. Everything that's happened in that 8-day span and all the BS, and I actually tweeted something out on the NFL as a no-facts lead,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you let speculation and scandal rule the day. And to say that I'm disappointed in Goodell not getting ahead of this and saying, look, we started an ongoing investigation. There will be no reporting on this until the facts have been released by the investigators, and then we will address it in full detail, giving you all the facts.
Right. Totally. And that's the way it's got to be. And that's the way it should be. And, of course, nobody wants to treat it like that, and so the Patriots, unfortunately, have to suffer the brunt of it.
Yeah, but when Robert Kraft, who is a very gentle and soft-spoken man by nature, kind of dropped the gloves and came at it with a little chat in Chicago, if you're going to come at me, you better come correct and heavy. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My time's over, kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Steve, what's your score prediction?
I'm going to go with 28-21.
All right. Oh, that's right. You said that. You said 21-28. I guess it's my dyslexia today. Sorry.
Yeah, and like the rest of Pat's Nation, I'm feeding on the hate like I would chocolate chip cookies and milk.
Nice. It's the only way to go as far as I'm concerned. All right. Do you have his intro, Zach? Do you have that? Did Kevin show you how to do all that stuff? All right. So when you get that, give me the thumbs up, and then we'll be ready to rock and roll here. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number. And stand by, because we found Mr. Russell Baxter.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54, Sweat Lodge 12. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
We're always in need of assistance from Mr. Russell Baxter, the guru himself. Russell, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How is wondrous Glendale?
It seems like it's okay. I wish I were there. Did you survive the storm of the Snowmageddon?
Yeah, we did not get as much. I know you guys got pounded.
Yeah, we got
the
pounded.
Boston area.
Yeah, we got my backyard.
We still got a foot. Don't get me wrong. It
right.
Wasn't like flurries.
Right.
Not nearly what they were anticipating.
So. We got hammered in my backyard and on the Berkeley Cranberry Bog with 30 inches.
I'm sure after seeing that forecast of 2 or 3 feet, a lot of people got hammered.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. North of us, out toward Worcester, they were well over 3 feet.
Right, yeah. No, it was amazing. Yeah, we got kind of spared. If you call a foot spared, I guess we got spared.
Right. So to speak, spared. Okay, so now that we're kind of through all of the crap from last week and the story that was not the story, we actually get a chance to talk a little football. I'm curious, though, what you think of overall and what you thought of yesterday, Media Day, because that's usually an exercise in futility, if you know what I mean.
Yes, and for many years when I was at ESPN, we covered it live. And, you know, I don't think I watched a single moment of it yesterday. I heard, you know, the different clips and so on, and, you know, Marshawn Lynch's I'm only here so I don't get fined rhetoric. And, you know, Media Day has become what it is because it's kind of taken on a new life. And, I don't even know, you know, isn't every day Media Day now with Twitter and Facebook and all the different things we do? I mean,
pretty much.
We're certainly writing every day.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the things that kind of eventually bites the dust down the road, and they do something else with Tuesday.
You know, I was wondering if there, you know, and that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because to me, and I opined a little bit about that here on Patriots.com this week, but to me, the couple of times that I've actually been a part of that, and this has been years ago when I was covering the Dallas Cowboys, mm-hmm. that I never saw anything worthwhile about Media Day, because it was always a joke. They always issue credentials to, you know, guys dressed up as superheroes and girls dressed up in ballerina suits. And I understand why they do that, because they're trying to be as all-inclusive as they can potentially be. But if you're trying to actually do a serious story, it's really, really hard to do that. And the way they have it set up, you can't get to everybody before the time is up.
No, that's exactly right. Like I said, it is a different beast now. And you know what? It's funny, many people who complain about the Pro Bowl in our medium, I wonder how many people actually feel the Pro Bowl is a lot more legitimate than Super Bowl Media Day.
I've never heard that comparison made, but you're right. At least it's still football.
It strikes me because, you know, we do have, you know, and here's the thing. What, you know, there's a lot of players there. There's a lot of questions, okay? So say you're cutting a piece or you're boiling down Media Day for a station or so on.
Right.
You know what you wind up using, don't you? All the comedy.
Of course.
Okay?
Of course.
All the comedy, you know, the stuffed animal thing, which was adorable, don't get me wrong. Okay, but no one's going to run the serious questions because there's press conferences all week. So, you know, if they're ever looking to streamline, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it went away and just did it. Just do it a different way, that's all, instead of, you know, giving them, you know, all six Brady kids get a credential.
Yeah, and here's the thing,
and I don't mean Tom Brady's kids. I mean Jan, Marcia, Cindy, and all that. Okay?
Yeah, I totally understand that. But, you know, because there's major media opportunities every day, you know, there should be something. I mean, you know, if you want to, you know, have fun with Tuesday, great, whatever. But somebody in the marketing wing of the NFL needs to come up with a better option, I think, because that's just.
Well, it's not really Media Day. I mean, if you really think about it, it's not Media Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's Celebrity Day.
That's more appropriate, Celebrity Day. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's Celebrity Day, and that's fine. I mean, we all aspire to be celebrities, but the idea that, you know, we have so much more access now. As the media to players and so on. And listen, regardless of how much access that, there's going to be players who talk and players who don't talk.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, to do it, I understand there's an era tradition to it, but I don't think it's that traditional.
Well, I guess the reason that I ask is because, you know, we had the, I just don't want to get a fine boss from, you know, Marshawn Lynch again yesterday. And while I found that amusing, like everybody else in the free world did yesterday, the bottom line is that, you know, the media and those that are there have a job to do, and a guy like Lynch he doesn't care. And so if the guy doesn't care, then frankly, why is the NFL making him show up when he clearly does not want to be there? It's an exercise in futility.
I think that's an incredibly valid point and one that can't be ignored. I mean, again, you know, this isn't like Marshawn Lynch decided Super Bowl week that he wasn't going to talk to the media. Okay?
Yeah.
This is an ever-running soap opera. So, and the thing is, whatever his stance is, okay, I don't begrudge him at all. But the bottom line is that you know that he's not going to talk. So who does everybody go to? They go to the guy who decided to talk. I mean, that makes no sense. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
Let's surround the guy that we know is not going to talk because we know he's not going to talk.
So we've got now, you know, 100 other guys doing their job exactly what the way they're supposed to, and it's okay for one guy to be a goof and do it like that? No, it's not okay.
I don't think it's okay. I understand where he's coming from, and they've got to find a way to appease it. My question is, why do so many reporters surround the guy who they know they're not going to get anything from? I mean, that's an easy day's work as far as I'm concerned.
Sure it is, but they surround him on the eventuality or, you know, the freak notion that he might actually say something other than what he already has scripted.
That's very true. I totally understand that. I guess what I'm saying is after the 15th time, and I understand it was 28 or 29 times.
I believe it was 29,
I think I would have walked away.
Yeah, yeah, there's no question. Well, he actually did the walking away. He was up there for his minimum of what, 4 minutes, and he set his cell phone off, and as soon as it went off, he was out of there.
Right. He answered the same question the same way. You know, after, my goodness, after 10 times I would have walked away and said, okay, all right, I get the point.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go talk to somebody who wants to talk about the game.
Yeah, precisely. And so that's why I think the whole media thing, and maybe, you know, if he's that worried about his words being misconstrued or he hates it, realizing that this is part of his job and he still doesn't do it, then somebody should slap him with a fine. And if not, then the whole thing needs to be dismantled. And maybe somebody needs to actually do their job in the NFL PR department and say, all right, we got to figure out a way to get him comfortable here. How do we do it?
Yeah.
We let somebody come in and interview him, and we distribute it, you know, to everybody else or something like that. But the whole thing is farcical.
Right, exactly. And, you know, for a league that's very conscious of its image, okay, and I say that in a positive sense.
Sure.
You know, why do you want this guy to make you a laughingstock all the time?
Well, that's exactly what he's doing, and I don't think the NFL gets that. And that's shame on the NFL for not realizing, you know, he's putting it back in your face.
One thing, and this is what you'll always get back from people, too. Oh, wow. So, in other words, Marshawn Lynch is going to get fined, you know, blah, 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 blah. But a guy who smokes pot is going to be able to do what?
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
You see, that's the other blowback that comes here. So,
right.
I'll tell you, it's been a forgettable year for the NFL.
Really has
in
been.
In terms of, you know, PR. It really has. And I don't mean the PR directors. I mean just public relations-wise. It's a damn... You heard it right away. Well, you know, you get a more severe penalty for marijuana than you do spousal abuse. You
yeah.
heard that right away after the Ray Rice thing.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
So it would be the same thing here. How can you find this guy half, you know, $50,000, but you're only finding this guy because he did this?
Right.
You know?
It's crazy.
Fair or not, immediately the comparisons come up.
Yeah, and I mentioned off the top of the show today, it's been a losing season for the NFL in that regard. They have lost every battle in public relations.
During the regular season, it was a bad year off the field. And during the playoffs, it's been a bad year on the field.
Right. Definitely. All right, well, let's put that aside now. I wanted to get your two cents worth on that because I figured that you would have an opinion, and I'm glad you did. I know that you are chock full of historical notes about this particular game. You know, the Seahawks have a chance to become, what, the ninth repeat winner of the Super Bowl? Is that correct?
Yes, I think that's correct. One franchise did it twice, and that was, well, the ninth repeat champion, and I believe the eighth franchise.
Thank you. Okay.
Because the Steelers repeated twice.
Right.
So,
eighth different franchise.
You know, rare air, and obviously the first team to do it since, you know, we know who.
Yes, the Patriots.
The New England Patriots, which adds to the intrigue of the matchup.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, because we have that, and because this is Super Bowl 49, and I guess they're going to regular numbers after this year, you told me this, right?
I don't know if it's regular numbers after this. I think that might be a one-year deal.
Oh, just because it's Super Bowl 50 next year?
5-0 yeah. next year. I don't know if they've made the decision to go to 5-1. So.
Okay. Interesting. So then we might go back to Roman numerals for 51?
Might go back to Roman numerals.
That would be... So
still should have been Hawaii 5-0. I don't know how they botched that.
That would have been the better way to go.
For a lot of different reasons.
For a lot... Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because that would be a trip that we'd all be making, and I wouldn't be here in, you know, frigid Foxborough either at this time. I definitely want to get out there for that. All right. So I guess... For the players that are involved here, and I'm watching now Russell Wilson up on the podium as we speak, and they're going through all this. The Patriots did all of their stuff earlier this week as well. This is a very regimented time of the season, more so really, I think, than the regular season and the regular routine. And the teams, you know, that figure out a way to handle, you know, the duties that are involved here are usually the teams that find themselves with success on Sunday. Do you find that to be the case, or is this much ado about nothing?
No. Listen, they have a routine. These are two of the better organizations in the league. You know, and I love this matchup because both of them have extremely recent Super Bowl experience. So there's not going to be any real curveballs here as far as, you know, not knowing what to expect. And you combine that, you know, with their coaching staff and their quarterbacks and a variety of players on both sides of the ball that, you know, have either been in a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl. I think it's tremendous. It's really a tremendous opportunity to have one of the better games.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if we have a better game, then I'm sure you have your thoughts on how you think this thing might break down. And if you have an historical perspective to share with us on this, I would be very grateful if you would share with us your information.
Well, I would say in this case, because you have two teams that do not do a great or do a very, very good job of taking care for the football,
mm-hmm.
that turnovers more times than not really kind of decides these Super Bowls.
Sure.
And it's the number I always point to all the time. Only three times in 48 Super Bowls has a team lost the turnover battle and won the game. There have been some Super Bowls where the turnover battle is tied. But 48 champions, 52 turnovers, John.
Which is an amazing number.
There's 151 turnovers.
Wow.
That's a plus 99 for the winners. That's a hard number to ignore.
Yeah, you can't.
You look at Seattle last week, which uncharacteristically, 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
5 turnovers. First team in 32 years to win a playoff game committing that many turnovers. Russell Wilson only had 7 interceptions the entire year, had 4 in one game, and they still found a way
to win
this game. But I might throw you a little curveball here in terms of, first off, I think the Patriots are going to win the game. And because I think they're going to win the game, they'll win by 3 because the Patriots only win their Super Bowls by 3.
That's true. 3 wins already and 3 3-point victories. That's right.
Listen, death taxes and Patriots Super Bowl wins by 3.
I agree with that.
Right. But I think I might throw you a surprise in terms of who I think is going to be the most valuable player. And I would think this the same way for their certain position for the Seahawks. I think the starting running back for each of these teams will be the game's MVP, and that's why I think it's going to be LeGarrette Blount. Because I think the Seattle defense is not quite what everybody thinks it is when it comes to the run. They have been susceptible to it. I know they have a 3rd overall ranking, which is better than the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they can be had. And I know there's going to be a lot of preoccupation about who's covering Gronkowski. I'm going to be really preoccupied watching how many times Bill Belichick unleashes his running game against the Seattle Seahawks, which I believe has given up, they've given up at least 130 yards on the ground in both playoff games.
That's right, they have. You know, looking back on that, I was looking at that just a couple of days ago. You're right. I mean, they do seem susceptible to the run, which sort of flies in the face of what we seem to look at statistically from this Seahawks defense being pretty stout overall. Last couple of games, they've given up the yardage up the middle.
Well, the times they lost this year, John, to San Diego, to Dallas, to Kansas City. That was the case. They gave up a lot of carries. They gave up a lot of yards. I know they also lost to the Rams, and that was almost one of those weird games where they got outflanked on special teams, if you remember,
mm-hmm.
kind of the trickery by Jeff Fisher in that game. And that, to me, seems like a definitive game plan when you're beating the Seattle Seahawks. Just control the ball against them. Give their sporadic offense fewer opportunities to actually move the football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in contrast, the New England Patriots got off to that 2-2 start, as we all know about, and they just didn't play very, very good football for the first month of the season. I don't know if I've really necessarily seen a concrete weakness by the Patriots, you know, since that 2-2 start. Mm-hmm. I know they lost to Green Bay. I know they lost the Buffalo game, in which they sat a lot of people. But even in the Green Bay game, they lost 26-21. The thing that stood out to me very definitively is how they only gave up 2 touchdowns to the Packers at Lambeau Field.
Right. Right. That's true. That is the case. I get the overall impression that while, you know, Seattle is a good football team, they did kind of back into this thing just a little bit, and I know it's probably because they have a little bit of a championship pedigree on their side, but there's not one thing that they do, in all honesty, that really, I think, causes a lot of overt concern. And I'm not denigrating them. I'm just saying, well, I'm looking at the way they've played toward the tail end of the season. Not dissimilar, in all honesty, to the way the Patriots played, although the Patriots, you know, put pedal to the metal against, you know, the Colts and blew them away in the second half of that one. And that was an extraordinary half of football and domination, and particularly in that third quarter. But the Seahawks don't really have that going for them. I mean, Seattle probably has to look at it like they're somewhat fortunate to be where they are right now. And I actually think that's a little bit of an edge to New England.
Well, what I also think is interesting is this is a football team in this day and age of this quarterback-driven league and all the numbers that we see through the air. The Seattle Seahawks are begging you to throw the ball against them.
Sure,
begging
they are. You. Right.
They'd love you to do that. I don't think they want to sit there and get in the ground and pound because their offense is so erratic. Remember, they had games down this winning streak, 19th of November, back-to-back 19-3 wins over the Cardinals and the Seahawks. Their offense is sporadic. I hear a lot of people talking about, well, they're, you know, they lead the league in big plays, but, you know, it's, they're also very inconsistent as well. I mean, the Patriots are very, very steady on offense. There's a lot of things that you can count on. And I think the big difference also with this New England team, opposed to the 2017 and 2011 team, is they have a nice mix on defense of youth and experience, and they're a lot more physical than they were in recent years.
Mm-hmm. They are. It's a good football team. I don't want to take anything away from them, and I'm not really trying to do that here. Just, you know, like I said earlier, there's not a standout moment here for me. I mean, I've seen them play very tough. I've seen them run the football exceedingly well. I mentioned this at the top of the show today for our listeners, and I'll mention it here again. The thing that worries me the most is Russell Wilson and his ability to get out of the pocket and make things happen almost on an ad-lib basis. He doesn't really impress me as much with his arm as he does with, you know, his legs, and I think that probably goes true for a lot of teams around the league and probably a lot of players that would have to defend him. But, you know, given a chance to have, you know, an extra week's worth of preparation for an offense like that, this is a hugely important game for New England to get the jump on Seattle and make them have to play from behind again.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. And listen, we saw the comeback. But, you know, this is a different beast when you're talking about the Patriots. They've been here numerous times. The coach, the quarterback, has been here numerous times. You know, this is not going to be – I hear a lot of people saying, well, you know, if they beat Peyton Manning 1 year and they beat Tom Brady the next year, where does that put them in ranking? Well, listen, this is a very, very good and physical Seattle defense. But you can't compare that year to last year. Last year, I thought that Denver Broncos were completely overwhelmed. I think they were undermanned. I don't think they were prepared for the physicality of the Seattle Seahawks. And we've seen that many times with these high-scoring teams, the teams that score over 500 points. And we know what Seattle can do to a good offense. Lost in last week or 2 weeks ago the NFC title game, okay? And you can blame this on being conservative as well with Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But they still held the Packers to one touchdown and five field goals, okay? And they picked off Aaron Rodgers a couple of times. So it wasn't like Aaron Rodgers riddled them. They made plays when they had to. They're resourceful. I'm sure there's going to be a trick or two. Maybe again on special teams, not necessarily a fake field goal again, because I think you pull that off once every 10 years maybe in a certain scenario. But the one thing I'm going to be looking for, this game also has the possibility of seeing some things we've never seen in the Super Bowl, and two stand out. Julian Edelman is one of the best punt return artist in the game. And there's never been a punt return for a touchdown in the Super Bowl, John.
Wow.
And obviously there's this guy who plays for New England named Rob Gronkowski. I don't know a lot about him. Okay. I heard Jeremy Lane of the Seattle said it wasn't that good.
So, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's right. He did. He said that.
You also know there's never been a tight end named Super Bowl MVP. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Two good things to kind of feast on. All right, and so you said earlier you're leaning toward the Patriots in this one.
Yeah, my Wilderness Ranger pick is Patriots 26, Seahawks 23, again, a three-point win.
Right.
I think you're going to see both teams move the ball, but I think you'll see both teams kind of bogged down as well. I don't think you're going to see a lot of mistakes. I think there's only been two Super Bowls of the 48 in which neither team committed a turnover. One was Super Bowl 25, Giants-Bills. The other was Super Bowl 34, Rams-Titans. This could be one of those, okay, because I think both teams are playing at a high level. But I lean toward New England. It'll be an interesting place for them to get their fourth Super Bowl win, considering what everything that happened 7 years ago. But we shall see.
Do you have any thoughts as to who needs this game more for the overall legacy? I know that's so important to so many fans.
I think the Patriots need it more for their legacy because I'm not sure if the Seahawks are going to have a legacy. And that's not a knock on the Seahawks. We're just very, very early into what they are. This last 3 years has been very, very impressive. Don't get me wrong. I want to say in the last, since 2012, since Russell Wilson took over, and their defense has been what it's been. They've given up the fewest points in the league 3 years in a row. I want to say a Colts game last year and a playoff game in 2012 was the only time this team's given up 30 points the last 3 years. I mean, that's more impressive to me than allowing the fewest points in the league 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just getting started. The Patriots already have a legacy. That's the, to me, is the difference there. They have legacy. Their legacy is a decade and a half. This just adds to it. Now, of course, if the Patriots lose, we're going to hear the whole thing about not being able to win unless they do certain things. But if they win, well, listen, there's always going to be critics. But listen, for a team that was mathematically eliminated 4 weeks into the season, it would be a hell of a thing to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it just kind of shows you the folly of that. And I think you just touched on something very important. If the Patriots lose this game, you know, the naysayers will be coming out in droves. And that's why I kind of agree with you. I think this game is much more important in terms of legacy to the Patriots than it would be to the Seahawks, largely because the Seahawks don't have a legacy. Now, if they win and they do become, you know, the eighth different franchise to win back-to-back Super Bowls, then you can say they're creating one. But how many people give them credit for creating a legacy as opposed to saying, well, the Patriots, you know, obviously got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, and that's the reason that Seattle, you know, won the game.
Well, for the Seahawks, it's a nice start if they win soon enough. And you know me, when it comes to dynasties and all that stuff, I was, you know, very adamant about when the Patriots won 3 out of 4, I didn't think they were a dynasty because they had missed the playoffs in 2002. Now I refer to them, it's funny, now I refer to them as the NFL's reigning dynasty, and they haven't won a title in 10 years.
Right, right, true.
Because it's got to be longevity. Dynasty to me, I mean, if your dynasty is shorter than the length of the show dynasty, then you're not a dynasty.
You don't know what he's talking about? Google it.
Google it, yes. Google it.
That's my answer for everything. Use your pocket brain and just Google it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so how are you going to spend Super Bowl Sunday, Russell?
Well, actually, for the first time in umpteen years, I will be at my home having a little get-together with some good friends. Of course, I'll be tweeting.
Of course.
Keep an eye on Bax Football Guru. We'll have facts and snacks for you.
Facts and snacks. Sweet. I like that. That's a great idea.
Now, I'm going to do something here because I've got, you know, a little, I don't want to say heat. I got a hand warmer. From a Twitter guy who went up. I mailed out T-shirts on Monday.
Okay.
So hopefully everybody will get them soon.
Good.
Now, I already said a certain number. So I already said a certain number in this piece or in this interview about turnovers, wins, and losses.
Right.
Did I not?
You did.
Okay. All right. So the next five people who tweet the number I'm talking about to back, and now this is open to everybody who's on Twitter, not new people, which was why everybody, you know, certain people got upset last week. What about us old standbys and so on?
All these people that have been already following you on Twitter, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. This is for anybody.
Okay.
So I'll make this, and it shouldn't be that hard. I said that the Super Bowl winners, the 48 Super Bowl winners, had committed 52 turnovers in the 48 Super Bowls, correct?
Right.
Okay, so now I want everybody, Bax Football Guru, the next 10 to do this. 10. I'll give away 10 shirts. Okay?
Go.
Tell me how many combined turnovers by the 48 Super Bowl losers in the Super Bowl. And I already gave out the number, so if you were listening, you should get it.
All right, so there you go. Tweet it to @BaxFootballGuru. And the first 10 people to get the correct answer get a ProFootballGuru.com T-shirt.
Correct.
Perfect. All right, so it's the number of combined turnovers of the Super Bowl losers, the previous 48 Super Bowl losers.
Right.
All right, and you've already given the number on the program.
And so I've already given out the numbers.
That's right.
It's like having a math test with the answers in front of you.
Yeah, were you paying attention? That's what we were trying to find out. Are you hanging on the guru's every word, which you should be? That's what we're.
Listen, after last week, some people wanted to hang the guru.
Yeah, well, they want to hang me, and they want to hang everybody here. They want to hang everybody in New England.
I can't thank your listeners enough. I asked for 8 new follows. I got about 50.
Nice. Well, that's because, you know, we rule the internet here. You know that, right?
You do. You have a strong cult following. Notice I said cult and not occult.
Could be argued the other way, too. Oh, my goodness. Could definitely be the other way as well. Russell, I am going to wish you a very good time, certainly on Sunday for the game. I know it will be with your friends and everything. I'm unsure as to our schedule next week because, you know, we always try to do a wrap-up show to send us into the off season. I'm thinking it might be Thursday, so if you're available, we'll give you a call.
I'm in touch with that emotion.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. And I appreciate your 26-23 prediction for the Patriots. The three-point margin is right about where I'm thinking. I said 23-20. So that's kind of where I'm going with
it. Death, taxes, and Patriots football's like free.
That's the way. Hey, I like it. It works for me.
And I'm getting another call, John, so hopefully we can do this next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for the time today. Appreciate it.
You got it.
All right. Russell S. Baxter, Pro Football Guru. You can find him at profootballguru.com. He's on Bleacher Report. He does many things for many entities throughout the United States, you know, and even the world, I guess, covering the National Football League, and we're happy to have him in the playbook each and every Thursday during the course of the regular season here on Patriots.com radio. Today, of course, because we won't be around here tomorrow, as we said a little bit earlier. All right, I've got some people who have been hanging on the phones. Let's make sure that you know the phone number, 855-PATS. 500, the toll-free telephone number. Want your prediction for Super Bowl Sunday? Give the score. Get a chance to win a yearbook, media guide. Everything is on the table. Let's get in a quick timeout so we can let our sponsors know we love them too. And then we're right back to your phones. We'll read some emails. We've got some tweets. We got some Facebook posts. We got scores to talk about. We got questions to answer right here in the playbook.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to step inside the playbook? Hit up John toll-free on the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the man, the myth, the legend himself, John Rook.
Legend in my own mind, of course. Debbie in Tennessee says, today's my birthday. Been called a cheater as I walked into work with my Pats jacket on. Just smiled and strolled by. Can I get a shout-out on the show today? Go Pats. There's your shout-out, Debbie, and thanks for wearing it proudly. This is Amin in Miami. It says Miami admin. Okay, fair enough. Hurts to say it, guys, but no matter how I look at it, Seattle is the superior team in every way. Please tell me where I'm wrong. It looks to me that all the matchups favor Seattle. Seattle is a dominant and consistent defense. Ours is good usually, really good once in a while, mediocre at times. Seattle is the best running game in the league. Our run D is inconsistent. Our running game inconsistent. Our passing game by no means great, no deep threat from either a receiver or not a strength of Brady's, and, of course, the inconsistent play of the O-line. Wilson accounted for more yards, air and ground, than Brady. His QB rating is within 2 points. His interception percentage is identical. Two of Wilson's picks last week were totally on the receiver. I don't see two such games in a row. Green Bay, a better offense than ours, got 5 turnovers, can only muster 22 points. Defense historically performs better in these games. I hope I'm wrong. Nervous in Miami. Interesting. And then, of course, we have on Twitter, couple of them here. Matt says Pats 23, Hawks 20, Super Bowl prediction. Sky says Pats need to be prepared for the Seahawks run game, Lynch and Wilson. Other than that, we'll be fine. 31-20 Pats. Alex says, I've been having this dream, Rook. We win 23-21. Got to go with my dreams. Robert says Patriots 24, Seahawks 23. MVP is Devin McCourty. Joe says Pats 31, Seahawks 28, because we only win Super Bowls by 3. Control Freak says the same thing. Patriots over Seahawks, 24-21. Last-minute field goal. Akash says 28-20 Pats. Brady throws 4 TDs, goes down as the greatest of all time. Robert tweets 27-16 Pats. Looking forward to Sunday. Prashant says Patriots win 24-23. Goodness. All over the place. Let's get a couple of thoughts here from a gentleman who has joined us throughout the course of the regular season. He covers the AFC East and the Patriots for Boston.com, Eric Friends. Hey, Eric, how's it going today?
It's going well. I'm a little snowed in up here, but how you doing?
Well, no, where were you located for the Snowmageddon this week?
Yeah, I stayed at home in Watertown. I've been there. I've been on lockdown pretty much since Monday. Got out and shoveled what must have been 3 feet of snow outside my apartment yesterday, and it was a pretty long day in that respect. But other than that, I'm just trying to stay hunkered down.
Yeah, same here. We were lucky to get out of it last night. We shoveled about 30 inches out ourselves yesterday so we could get into the stadium today. What are your thoughts overall on the way that this team shapes up and the last couple of tweets and emails that I read in terms of not so sure? It seems like the matchups favor Seattle. Frankly, I felt pretty good since starting to look at this a week ago. I actually think the matchups are favorable for the Patriots, especially when you go man-on-man.
I was listening to Admin's email, and I couldn't help but giggle because it's any wonder the Patriots even made it to the Super Bowl with how average they've been at every single position. It sounds like a lot of people are, you know, I mean, comparing the Patriots to the Seahawks, and looks like, you know, on paper, you know, they match up relatively well, in my opinion. I mean, I look at what they would be able to do against the Seahawks, and I think you look at their ability to kind of spread the field and kind of match up whatever they want to do. Offensively find the opponent's weakness and really take advantage of that. And I think, you know, they match up relatively well. I mean, you know, Richard Sherman, he's a great cornerback in his own right, but there are ways to get around him and ways to attack him. And with the injured elbow, I wouldn't be surprised to see them go after him a little bit this week. And then, you know, you look at the defensive side and the Patriots, I think defensively, they actually have one of the more well-equipped defenses to handle a team like the Seahawks, just because, you know, they're really gap disciplined and they're fundamentally sound. I mean, they're much more fundamentally sound than they were in the early part of the season, and they've really improved in run defense, which is really where the Seahawks make a lot of their hay. So I think if the Patriots can stay in their lanes and can really, you know, buckle down in that respect and stay on top of the read option, they should be able to slow down the Seahawks offense. And then on the other side of the ball, if they can just find the good matchups and exploit those, I think they have a relatively good shot at building some rhythm on offense.
You touched briefly on exploiting, you know, in particular Richard Sherman and, you know, the injury that he might have back there in the secondary. What were your thoughts on Brandon Browner, you know, basically saying, hey, I'm going to tell my guys to go after him, even though they were friends, they were part of the Legion of Boom, that whole thing a year ago with Seattle. You know, was he wrong to do that in your estimation, or did you find that curious like I did?
I mean, I don't know if I would say he was wrong to do that. I mean, I can see the point that he was trying to make. You look at Richard Sherman and what he does. I mean, he locks down the one side of the field, so you know where he's going to be at all times. So it's really not a matter of, you know, finding him on the field. You know where he is. So really, I think then you kind of have to wonder, okay, how do you attack it? Well, I think the one way that you could go after him is with a screen pass or two early on in the game, just see, you know, okay, you know, we know his elbow is injured. How injured is it? Is he going to be able to wrap up and tackle? Is he going to be able to chase a guy down in the open field and stop the oncoming momentum, whoever that guy may be, whether it's Brandon LaFell or Danny Amendola or Rob Gronkowski? You know, my personal opinion, I would put Amendola out there more often than anybody else, only because I look at that like you kind of have a sacrificial lamb out there on that side of the field to kind of draw that coverage, so to speak. And I mean, you have a guy like that on that side, the Seahawks might roll their coverage over to the other side of the field, but you definitely do at least give yourself the better options on the side that Richard Sherman is away from, and Brady throws better to his left, which is away from Sherman's side of the field anyway. So I mean, I don't know that they're going to go after him 10, 12 times this week, but definitely something where you want to take a couple of shots at him and see how he's holding up.
No doubt about that. That's exactly what I was thinking. I also want to see them try to attack the seam with Gronk as best as they can. And I'm almost begging for Seattle to go single coverage on him.
It'd be interesting because Cam Chancellor, I mean, I look at him and physically, I don't know if there's a safety you could build that would be a better matchup for Gronkowski just because of the physicality that he has, size. He can run and cover with guys like Rob Gronkowski. He had that famous hit last year on Demaryius Thomas where he knocked him back, must have been 6 yards in the Super Bowl on a crossing pattern. So you definitely do want to take a couple of shots because Gronkowski is your best weapon on offense. I would be very surprised if they single him up. If they do, that's a matchup that I would at least try to exploit. I mean, you have to. Gronkowski's been so good all season long at taking those matchups and beating them that, you know, you really would be foolish not to take advantage of that matchup if you get it. So definitely, I could see them going after it a little bit, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's not a 100% successful endeavor every time Gronkowski's in one-on-one coverage that he's going to get the ball and make a big play.
Sure, and I think that's a credit to Seattle and what they have been able to do defensively. To me, the key is going to be in the trenches again, and whether or not, you know, the Patriots' offensive line, as we all know, has been, you know, maligned somewhat this week, and whether or not a guy like Brian Stork is actually able to step back into the lineup to solidify things against the Seattle front that certainly has had its moments this year, but as we talked about early in the program, has also given up over 250, 260 yards rushing in the last two games combined.
Yeah, and I look at that, and I mean, Brian Stork's presence is going to be key for them, not only in the running game, but also in the passing game, because I've been talking about this all week. You know, I think this is a really big game for the offensive line, only because, I mean, I look at the Seahawks, and I think, you know, I think of their defensive ends, Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett, and I think of, you know, how good of a pass rushing unit they are. And then I think, you know, okay, what's the best way to counter that? I mean, the Patriots have done it earlier this season against teams like the Detroit Lions, like the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round, where they go to a spread set, maybe an empty set, maybe with one back in the backfield, but spread the defense out and get the ball out of Brady's hands quickly. I think that's something that they're going to do a lot of this week. And not only to do that, but also, like I was talking about earlier, to spread out that defense and go after cornerbacks other than Richard Sherman, because I mean, like I said, you know, you're going to take a couple of shots at him just to see how he's holding up, but you're not going to go after him every time. So you're going to want to get some matchups on other areas of the field, and the best way to do that is spread them out. But, I mean, once you do that, then you kind of get the Seahawks thinking, and then you can start to run the ball a bit, maybe out of those formations, maybe out of some bigger formations where you're running the ball at them after they're already gassed, after trying to get after the quarterback unsuccessfully for however long the Patriots try to go to that spread set. So a lot of different things they can do. Be interesting to see how they attack it.
Sure. Eric Frenz covers the Patriots and the AFC East for Boston.com, joining us here in the playbook. Flip it to the other side, and whether or not Seattle's offense can produce enough against a New England defense that at times this year has looked almost every bit as good as Seattle's does, and at other times they've been a little bit of a puzzle. I don't think there's any question that the secondary looks like it can man up with what the Seahawks have to offer at wide receiver, but can that Seattle offense behind Marshawn Lynch, and even perhaps more importantly with the legs of Russell Wilson, can they do damage that way?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to see. I do think that, you know, that Seahawks offense, I mean, like I've said, you know, their rushing offense is one of the better units in the league, if only for, you know, Marshawn Lynch and his ability to create yards after the contact. So I think he led the league in yards after contact this year. So one of those guys who's going to be really hard to bring down, and definitely, you know, when they add in that read option and sprinkle that in there, that makes it even more difficult. So I think it's going to be really up to guys like Vince Wilfork and Rob Ninkovich and Chandler Jones to stay in their lanes, be gap disciplined, and really make sure that they don't get too aggressive. I mean, the one time that you would want to be aggressive isn't against the read option where you're attacking the mesh point, and really, you know, trying to get into the backfield so that you're not caught on your heels waiting for whoever has the ball. Instead, you're just going after the ball and swarming it, and then you'll get after the ball carrier later.
Sounds kind of crazy, and I know that Wilson even talked about that earlier today in one of his news conferences. But, hey, when he's doing that read option, he wants to give the ball to Lynch. Who wouldn't want to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch in that particular instance? And yet, Seattle might be more dangerous when the defense, you know, bites on Lynch, so to speak, and Wilson's the one that's able to get out of the pocket, out of the backfield, and do damage with his legs.
Yeah, definitely, and I think that's a testament to Marshawn Lynch and his ability, you know, to run through a lot of tackles. I think, you know, because the defense is going to really focus in on him and try to get as many guys on him as possible, whereas Russell Wilson, I mean, not to say that they don't respect his ability to run, but, I mean, I would certainly respect that less than Lynch, where, you know, he's getting the ball 25, 30 times a game and usually for more than 100 yards.
Sure. All right, so I know you've looked at this somewhat analytically. What do you think? How do you think this game is going to separate itself from others in terms of the way the game is played, and who's going to win it? Got any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going with the Patriots 27-23. That's been my prediction pretty much since the get-go, and I think, and really I do think, you know, what I was mentioning earlier about Patriots coming out, spreading out the ball early, I think that's the best way to go about it. You get those Seahawks defensive linemen gassed early on. Give yourself an opportunity to run the ball against a defense that's been one of the best units against the run, and really kind of get the defense off rhythm, get the offense on the, or keep the offense on the sideline, and really force them to play catch up from the beginning.
If this game you know, breaks down to one key area. What do you think? What do you think this game hinges on? Is it turnovers? Is it the Patriot offense against the Seattle defense? Is it field position? Is it special teams? What do you feel like the one significant factor is that this game could kind of hinge upon?
It's so cliche to say it, but I think it's the battle up front. I think on both sides of the ball, the Patriots have to win, and it's gonna. And this is one of their tougher challenges. But I mean, the Seahawks' offensive line has been so good blocking for the running game, and the Patriots' defensive line has had their moments where they've been had in the running game. So I think they need to buckle down in the running game and in run defense and really play one of their better games of the season in that respect. And then on the offensive side, like I was saying earlier, I think it's going to be up to those guys up front to give Brady time in the pocket or at least give him enough time to get the ball out quickly. Those spread sets that I was talking about, that's going to put pressure on the offensive line. That's going to force them to really block those guys and to hold up at least long enough for Brady to get the ball out of his hands. And then also when it comes time to run the ball, to fire off the ball and to really get down the field and give some extra holes for Blunt in the running game. So,
yeah,
I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I think we want to see the quick hitters by Blunt, if at all possible. You got an MVP prediction?
Interesting. I hadn't really thought about it, to be honest with you. But I guess on the fly, I'll just say Tom Brady because it's the cliched pick and the easiest one to go with.
You're absolutely right. It's kind of hard to go opposite that. Eric, enjoy the game. I hope you get dug out of your apartment, and we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
All right, thanks a lot, John. Good talking to you all year, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Great job all year. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks.
Friends covers the Patriots and the AFC East for Boston.com as he's joined us here in the playbook to offer some of his insights. And he's a really solid young reporter. He's got some good opinions on the NFL and on the Patriots, and especially on the AFC East. We get his thoughts whenever big news happens to any of the Patriots' fellow division brethren, whether it's Buffalo, Miami, or the Jets, and he's usually right on top of it all. So it's been good to kick things off on him all season long. All right, let's get back to you, and thank you very much for holding on as long as you have. Go back to the phones at 855-PATS-500, and we'll take calls, emails, and tweets, and Facebook posts for the remainder of the program here for the next 40 minutes until we join the PFW in Progress guys live from Arizona coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Here's Kate in Virginia. Kate, thanks for hanging on. Kate, you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. First off, I'm going to just talk about Seattle's. Their offense hasn't been very consistent, but neither of our defense.
Mm-hmm.
Cause if you look at their points per game, a team that would go 36 points on their first week, but then on week 8 they would be down to 13.
Okay.
And Their highest was 38, and they would drop down to 13 sometimes, and basically it's very inconsistent. But they're definitely, I think it's going to be a high scoring game. And a lot of people aren't thinking that, but I think these defenses and offenses are just going to clash, and it's, I think they're both going to be giving up a lot of things, and I think in the end it's going to turn out to be a 38-35 game.
38-35. You taking the Patriots in that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you actually think it's going to go against everything that everybody else is talking about, and somehow these offenses are going to prevail over everybody else?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Who do you think might be the MVP in all of this then, Kate?
If Gronk can get open, I think he's definitely a contender. He can stay open somehow, or it could end up being Jonas Gray or
LeGarrette Blount, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it all just depends on how we perform in this game.
Right. Okay. Very good. Thank you for the 2 cents. I appreciate that. Let's get to Trey in Tennessee. Trey, thanks for hanging in there. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Good, Trey. Thanks for hanging on, buddy.
Hey, man, like I always teach, man, it's all, yeah, I'm going to wait it out, man. It's always good to hear, man, the greatest voice in radio, man.
I need to hire you as my agent.
Hey, man, me and a couple of my guys was talking, man. Hey, man, your voice is up there, with the Keith Jacksons, man, and the Musburgers. You just got, you got that hit factor, man. It makes people, want to listen.
I'm loving you.
You just got a gift, John.
I'm loving you. I'm loving me some Trey in Memphis, baby.
You got a gift, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm just being honest. You know, you got a gift. Well, you know, I've, you know, listened to all these, you know, 3-point predictions, man. But this is one of these games, man, where I just could, this one of these games, John, where I can see the Patriots, you know, getting up early and, you know, kind of like what Green Bay did and what happened, man. You know, Green Bay started celebrating a little bit too early, John. You know, they took their foot off the gas pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you this, if the Patriots go up 10-0, 13-0, it's going to be an ass whoop. I'm telling you, John, because I kind of feel, you know, we haven't had that, you know, 60-minute game from the offense and the defense. Dang, I mean, John, this could very well be this one 60-minute game, you know, that we just put it together. I mean, I understand, you know, Seattle, you know, has a great defense, but their schedule was a lot softer. I mean, you know, I know they played in a tough division, you know what I mean, but I just, John, something just tells me, this is one of those games, man, that, I mean, you know, Brady could go nuts, man, and this defense can really, you know, make some things happen. And my MVP is I'm having a tug of war between Brady and Jamie Collins. I mean, this is a Jamie Collins game defensively because I think he's going to spy the hell out of Russell Wilson. I just don't see Russell Wilson outrunning Jamie Collins. And I want to say, man, I've heard a couple of people say that the defense has been inconsistent. Man, the second half of the season, the defense has been consistent in the second half because they haven't given up a whole lot of points. I mean, the defense has been very consistent as far as, you know, giving up points.
I mean,
and touchdowns. So, I mean, hey, it's one of them ass-whooping games, son. I feel it. I think it's going to be an ass-whooping. Now, it's going to be a slugfest early on, but I just think it's going to be a thrashing, man. And you know, I just want, you know, everybody to, you know, man, just, you know, get loud, man. Get your pom-poms ready. John, I'm going to have a hell of a barbecue here, too, man.
Don't tell me that.
I'm going to have slabs of ribs out this world, man. All right, you have a good one, man.
All right, Trey. That's a good job out of you. Appreciate that. Let's go to Chad in Atlanta. Chad, you're up next in the playbook.
John, how are you?
I'm good, Chad. How's it going today?
Oh, it's going good. I completely agree with the previous caller. I also believe it's going to be a arse-whooping. My thing is, I have a question for you, because I'm not too sure. When's the last time we've heard from Tim Wright?
The last time we did what with Tim Wright?
When's the last time we've heard from him?
Oh.
He's not injured or anything, right?
No, he's not. He's not injured. There's actually the health of this team is as strong as it's been really since early in the year before, you know, we lost Vereen and Mayo to injury. So he just hasn't been, you know, figuring into, you know, the targets because of the other guys that have been involved.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, John. I kind of think that, and this is what I would do if I was the offensive coordinator for the Patriots. We haven't seen the two tight end set in a long time, and I don't even think we've really seen it all year. So I would not be surprised if they don't sneak in a few little, you know, Tim Wright and Rob Gronkowski combos and completely take the Seahawks by surprise. And that being said, I think you're going to have Tim Wright as your Super Bowl 49 MVP.
Wow. So even though Russell told us earlier that a tight end has never been MVP in the Super Bowl, you're going to take a Patriots tight end not named Gronkowski.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it.
It just fits in so well. My prediction for the score, I'm going to go with 30-20. Like I said, I think Tim Wright's going to have a big game. I also think LeGarrette Blount will have a big game also. But yeah, I think if I'm the Patriots, I'm throwing Seattle a curveball, and I'm throwing in Tim Wright and Rob Gronkowski.
I think that's a great idea, Chad. To borrow the mixed sports metaphor there, I think throwing Seattle a curveball, trying to give them something that they may not expect, is something these guys have been working on. It wouldn't stun me to see that at all.
Yeah, I'm not as scared of the Seattle Seahawks defense, not at all. So, John, you have a good rest of the day, sir, and go Pat.
Thanks, Chad. I appreciate that. That's good stuff. All right, Chris in Vegas, up next here in the playbook. Hello, Chris.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good, Chris.
Hey, first off, I'll say this. Want to send a shout-out to Debbie. It's also my birthday, so it's good to share our birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you. I feel pretty good about this game, John. I really do. I'm not, to echo the last call, I'm not really scared of this defense either, scared of the Seahawks team. I'll tell you why. They don't have a very explosive offense at all. They're averaging 25.2 points a game, versus the pass at 29.2. And if they allow 20 or more points to another team, they're actually 3-4 in those games. And, two of those wins were actually overtime, the one in Denver in week 3, then also Green Bay in the championship game. We've actually scored 20 points in 14 of our last 18 games. Mm-hmm. They have a right tackle that's terrible in Justin Britt. He's actually rated the worst in the league, so I think we can definitely exploit that. Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse, they don't impress me at all. They lack playmaking on that side of the ball and the receivers. In fact, they've actually only combined for just one touchdown on targets over 20 yards or more. But you do have to worry about Wilson. I agree with that. The biggest thing with him is actually his decision making. He makes great decisions, and if our defense can speed up that process, I think that we can force him into some errors. And like you said, I think turnovers will really be, of course, the key of this game. They're soft up the middle against the run. Kansas City beat him that way, and also. They have the trouble defending short passes, which is where Tom Brady really kind of excels. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're actually 27th in the league in short pass completion percentage allowed. So they allow it 71.6% of the time. So they just don't do a very good job in keeping those types of passes, which is our strength, in check. And for my MVP, I've got Julian Edelman. I think that he has over 100 yards in this game. And I think that he has a touchdown. And I'm going 31-20 pass.
31-20. Some very good analysis by that, Chris. By the way, you took a good look at the numbers and put it up against Seattle's strength and weakness. And that's a good job out of you.
Oh no, I actually did do a little bit of research. Of course, being in Vegas, I'm putting 100 on my pats. So. but I really do. I feel pretty good. I don't think the Seahawks team is. I think they're overrated. I think that they're fast and they're physical, but I think that if you game plan the right way against them, just like San Diego did, and just like Kansas City did, I think that they're definitely beatable.
What was I going to add? Oh, so what kind of odds did you get when you put your bet down?
I've got Patriots -1.
Okay, Patriots, yeah. And a 1-point favorite.
1-point favorite here in Vegas.
Wow. I didn't realize it had swung. I thought it was still largely a pick 'em.
It started with, of course, because I was at the Green Valley Ranch Championship Sunday. As soon as the Seahawks won, it was 2 points
yep.
They were favored. As soon as New England won, it was 2 points New England. And then it's kind of gone from a pick 'em to Patriots -1 and 1.5 and 2.
Okay. Wow. So the Patriots are still, you've got Patriots in 1.
Yeah, Patriots in 1.
Okay.
So I feel pretty good about that. Again, I think it's going to be – I just think that their offense is going to struggle against our defense.
Yeah.
I think that as long as we don't get stuck down in the play action and they stay disciplined, and you can win, John, you can win punting the ball. I think if you make Wilson go the length of the field,
I agree.
Think he's going to struggle.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I really think this whole game is going to hinge on what Russell and I were talking about in the last hour of the show, and it's going to be on turnovers. And if the Patriots are the ones that can stay, you know, within themselves and not turn it over and not give Seattle a short field to work with and make, as you just said, Chris, make the Seahawks have to go the length of the field, go 70-plus yards on a drive, definitely favors New England.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, I really thought, you know, Green Bay gave that game away, as everybody does, of course. Like you said earlier, the Seattle kind of backed into this thing. So I just don't I think that Russell Wilson, I think he's a great guy. I think he makes great decisions, which is, you know, his you know, done well for him. But I think he's an average quarterback who's more lucky than good.
Well, he's a very good quarterback. I just don't know that we're ready to put him amongst the game's, you know, elite quarterbacks. If he wins this game on Sunday, he probably deserves to be mentioned in that quote-unquote top five, you know, NFL quarterbacks. He probably could get some mention there. But you know what? Sometimes, though, a great quarterback doesn't need to be really, really elite in one thing or another. He just needs to be pretty good at a lot of different things, and I think that's the best thing you can say about a guy like Wilson right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's a great story. I think as far as, and I, let me refrain, I'll say that his skill set.
Yeah.
He has an average skill set, but it's really his, like PFW guys pointed out, it's his decision making that
yes.
makes all the difference.
Agreed. And I'm right there with him on that. He is a smart guy and he does a lot of, you know, things well. Nothing particularly outstanding, but he does a lot of things well. I would say that his best attribute is definitely his ability to run with the ball because he's still young. He's got great legs. He's got, you know, he's got strength. He's, you know, and the strength plus the smarts is what makes him such a threat to run with the ball. That's where he's done most of his damage against opposing teams this year is, you know, when he has to kind of think on the fly. That's why a huge key for the Patriots is to have that quote-unquote spy, someone whose duty it is to keep their eyes on Seattle's number three at all times. And if the Patriots are able to keep him hemmed in the pocket that way, then I think the Patriots are going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and I think our defensive line can do that. Again, they you know, one of the most important parts in their offensive line, their right tackle, is a glaring weakness. So I think that they can get to him and make him go through his progressions a little faster than he may want to.
Sure.
So, well, my last question, I know you have other callers, John, is do you, if you're the Patriots, and you can't get a long-term deal done, do you pick up that $20 million option on Revis?
There's been rumor this week throughout Arizona that the Patriots apparently are prepared to do that. And again, let me stress, rumor only. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with whether or not they win this game. You know, I think there's a bigger chance that they might pick him up if they lost the game. Only because, you know, they'll kind of feel like, all right, you know, we're stuck. We really, our window now is shortened a little bit more with the current guys that we have on this team. And, you know, we really feel that, you know, now's the time. And, you know, so I think there's more of a chance that happens if they lose. And, again, this is just a gut instinct. I still think they're going to try to work it out. And I still believe that, you know, and whether they win or lose, I think Revis is going to – I think Darrell will take a listen to whatever the Patriots are going to have to offer. But I think, you know, they're prepared, apparently, to maneuver and do that if they need to do that.
Well, we know that we know what he's done on the field, John. But you're there. I mean, how has he really fit in with the team?
He's fit in very well.
I mean,
he's
yeah.
fit in exceedingly well. You know, he's gotten along with everybody in this backfield. You know, they've got a real camaraderie back there. I think it's one of the reasons why you've seen them have the kind of success that they've had in the defensive backfield this year. I mean, they're not afraid to man up against any set of receivers in the league, certainly even Denver's. And you can make the case that Denver had the best, you know, a wide receiver core, a receiving core, including the tight ends, than any other team in the NFL. And look at what they did to a pretty doggone good one in Indianapolis 2 weeks ago. So I don't think they have any fear here. And I think this is probably as good a secondary as we've seen in a long, long time. Certainly 10 years. I would say 10 years. And, you know, and I think he helps bring that kind of swagger that this team has. And they've got depth and they've, you know, and they've got a lot of the ingredients here. And this is what they went out and tried to get in the offseason and knew that they needed to have to make this team more a complete championship contender. And that's what they've gone and done. And because they're able to do that and because they still own a year, it'll be an expensive year, but because they own a year still on that contract, I think you'll see them at least consider to, you know, roll it over and bring them back another one, you know, as long as he's buying.
Well, John, I'd like to send you a shout out. You know, I listened to the show last week, and I do appreciate, you know, because I was really disappointed with the media, especially the Boston media. And, you know, being in Vegas, I watch, you know, Comcast Sports, you know, on DirecTV and listen to Felger and all those yahoos. You know, I just thought it was just vomit. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And, guilty until proven innocent. And you seem pretty fair and balanced and you're reporting and covering on what's going on.
We're trying to, and I think that's the key here, is that you need to have somebody, you know, remember that, you know, sanity should prevail here. And there are rules of order when you have to go out and cover these stories. And unfortunately, social media gets in the way of a lot of that. And the need to be first outweighs the need to be right. And that's wrong.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And it's, you know, like you said, you affect people's lives. Their jobs, and it's terrible. I thought it was terrible what they did to Belichick and Brady all last week. I'm glad that Kraft stood up and said something.
Well, as a Patriot fan, I hope that they're able to kind of take advantage of that little slight, shall we say, on Sunday.
Absolutely. All right, John. Thank you very much, sir.
Chris, thank you for the phone call. That's good stuff there. Gil in Oregon, up next here in the playbook. Hello, Gil. You there?
Hello?
Gil, you there?
Hello?
Hey, we're here. So are you. You're on the air.
Oh, sorry, because you said Gil. I'm Miguel.
Oh, Miguel. All right, well, that's because, you know, Zach's somewhat, you know, mentally challenged every once in a while, you know. But hi, Miguel. How's it going?
Hey, good. So being here from Oregon, you know, we hear a lot about Seattle and stuff, and a lot of the things they do, and, like, people were saying they're not afraid of Seattle, and I'm a Patriots fan, and I can tell you, there's a lot of things we got to be concerned about this game. But with that being said, I mean, all the things they do and everything, the only reason why I feel really confident about the Patriots winning is because we face the Ravens, mm-hmm. which is pretty close when it comes to the pass rush and the physicality. It's pretty close to what Seattle does. And we faced the Lions defense.
Mm-hmm.
And just some of the things we were able to do in that game really, really give me confidence when it comes to Seattle. I mean, everybody gives Seattle, like they're the best team and then they're, like unbeatable and everything. And I think we match up really good. I just think that we need to throw a lot of screens on the side of Sherman. Because that way we can test his elbow and stuff like that. And I think we got to run like Garrett Blount a lot because they're not going to be expecting us to run and they're not going to be wanting us to run.
Right.
And other than that, I mean, I think Gronk is going to have a good game. And I mean, I'm just stunned by what Jeremy Lin said the other day. I was kind of offended, to be honest. And I think my prediction for this game, it's going to be 28-24. The Patriots are going to win.
Okay.
Obviously.
28-24. All right.
Yeah, I think 28-24. I mean, I think both teams are going to be moving the ball, and I think we're going to keep Seattle. When the Super Bowl talk, everything started, which hasn't started until like Monday, because everybody's talking about the nonsense Deflategate and stuff like that, and I was a little worried about us defending the read option.
Mm-hmm.
But as the day's coming along, I think we're going to do a pretty good job because as long as we can keep him in the pocket and we can make them the length of the field, like the other guy was saying, I think we got a pretty good chance of just because just some of the things that Locke was able to do, he wasn't able to do against us. Kind of give me a little bit of confidence.
Yep.
And I think we're going to have sort of like the same scheme when it comes to defense, you know. And
I think the whole game hinges literally, Miguel. I think the whole game hinges on keeping Russell Wilson contained, not letting him, you know, run, you know, outside the pocket to throw, even on play action, not, you know, on the zone read options. You can't let him beat you with his legs because he can.
And that's what we've done against Locke. And I want to see the same thing on Russell Wilson. I don't think we should overthink it. I think we should do like kind of like the same thing we do with Locke. And I actually think that if the Patriots win and Brady gets a fourth Super Bowl, there's no way in hell he's not going to be the MVP.
Okay.
So
that might very well be true. You're right. If all things are equal and no individual performance stands out, it always reverts to the quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, thanks for taking my call, Joe, and I think we should all feel pretty confident about this one.
Good stuff, Miguel. Thanks, buddy.
And, hey, one more thing.
Sure.
That nobody's talking about is that Seattle, they're not the same team outside of CenturyLink Field.
So. You know, that's a legitimate point. That's a legitimate point, yeah.
People will say, well, the Patriots are not going to be in Gillette, but the Patriots are actually a really good road team. So
they have been.
That's another thing we can be confident about.
Fair enough. That's good stuff.
All right.
Thanks, Miguel. You got it. It's actually a pretty good point. I hadn't even really thought of that. All right, let's get some emails and some Facebook posts, some other tweets that have come in. At JR Broadcaster, thank you. Picked up about a dozen followers today. Yeah, we're getting closer, baby. It's going to happen. 3K. Hashtag Rook needs 3K. Steven says, Guru may correct me, but it was close to 2 seconds in the win over the Colts. X Factor in the win, TB12's release. Hashtag one family. All right, see, there you go, Max. There's your hashtag one family already out there. BK says, prediction Wednesday. Pats 31, that other team, 19. Hashtag go G-E-A-U-X Pats. Love it. Sky says, Tom Brady for MVP. No one works and prepares harder. Probably also the case. And I'm sure that's probably the case. All right, let's get some emails in here. Drew and Bowie. John, I'm saying this because I don't want to get fined. Ba-dum-tsh. Thank you. Glad you can make it in. My boys and I experimented with football pressure. After allowing several inflated balls to sit overnight at 68 degrees and maintaining pressure, we put them in 40-degree weather for an hour. The result was a 3 to 4% drop in pressure across the board. You know, I'm sure there are others that have done their own experimenting where that's concerned. I'm totally pumped, can hardly wait the next 100 hours. Oh, so now we're counting down the hours to kickoff. Nice. Stripper says Patriots 27, Seahawks 24. So he's got that three-point thing going there. Kevin in Maine. John, the Seahawks will be playing a pissed-off Patriots team. That's why I think they will win 34-27. Drew says it all comes together. One of the best performances of the year. Pats 27-14. World champs. And then no prediction because he's still in school. Clinton, son of Drew and Bowie. I'm sure he'll send it as soon as he gets out of school. This one comes from Kareem, who says, John, 28-17, Patriots all day. The key is to give Brady the same protection Aaron Rodgers got 2 weeks ago, and then we slice him up. Protect Brady, please. That's what Kareem says. Tom in Baltimore sends this. John, I feel the Pats will win this game, but the question is how. I watched the NFC Championship game, and a really good Packers offense struggled to score. It's a good point. With that said, how do you see the Pats attacking the Seahawks? I'm thinking multiple looks, two tight end sets, Gronk, Wright, Vereen, along with three wide receivers, with Blunt in the backfield. They are going to have been deceptive to throw the Hawks off. What do you think? He says Pats 27, Seahawks 21. You know, I actually, multiple looks is the way that they've kind of gone. And what you'll do is you'll see them probably, you know, throw two tight ends in there. I think they've been pretty consistent with that, you know, by and large. Although Wright hasn't normally been the second tight end because they've had the second tight end in there in Hooman for blocking. I'd be stunned if you didn't see an unbalanced offensive line with tackle eligible at some point. Whether it's Solder, whether they bring Cannon in, I'd be stunned if they didn't throw that in there for at least a couple of snaps of the ball. I definitely think they're going to mix it up. I definitely think they're going to try to throw something at Seattle that Seattle is not necessarily expecting. And whether that means unbalanced lines, two tight end sets, no tight end sets, empty backfield, full house backfield, formation of the backfield using, Devlin as a blocking fullback, you're going to see a lot of different things. And probably run some of the same plays you've seen before, but out of the different sets just to keep Seattle off balance. You don't want to get them in a groove. You don't want them to feel like they're in a rhythm themselves. Tyler says, which scenario would you rather have? 2 minutes left in the game and Tom Brady has the ball with two timeouts left and needs a touchdown to win, or 2 minutes left in the game. Seahawks have the ball with zero timeouts, and they need a field goal to win the game. Which scenario do you feel more confident about? Ooh, good one. All right. 2 minutes left in the game. Brady has the ball, two timeouts left, and needs a touchdown to win. Or 2 minutes left, Seahawks with the ball, no timeouts. They had need a field goal. Oh, wow. Well, I don't know if I can make that choice, Tyler. That's a good one. I mean, honestly, more confident? I probably feel more confident having the ball, which means that I guess in answering your question, it would have to be Brady with the ball, two timeouts left in 2 minutes, but you need a touchdown to win. I'd probably feel more confident about it because we've seen him do that, as opposed to the defense having to react to Seattle. But Seattle has the ball, no timeouts, but they only need a field goal to win the game. It's probably a little unfair toward the defense, but again, you're giving me these two scenarios. Which one do I feel more confident about? It's going to be the one that I'm more familiar with, and that's going to be having seen Brady do what he does, especially with timeouts left. I'm going to feel a little more confident about that. Now, to that end, I would also say you got to throw in, you know, where's the football? Because if Brady has, let's say they get the ball outside of their own 30-yard line, I'm feeling real confident there. But if Brady has the ball tucked inside his 10 with 2 minutes left and two timeouts left, I'm not feeling so confident. And I probably feel more confident with the Seahawks and no timeouts needing a field goal to win. So a field position, I think, probably has to play a factor in that one. Interesting thought process, though, there, Tyler. Thank you. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut says, John, to quote the infamous Clubber Lang, my Super Bowl prediction is for pain. Seriously, though, I think this will be one of the hardest-hitting Super Bowls or football games we've seen in a long time. Between the two big backs in Lynch and Blunt, the big uglies on both sides of the OL and DL for both teams, the Legion of Boom, the Pats linebackers, Browner, Chung, I expect to see some very hard-hitting in all aspects of the game. Because of that, I don't expect this to be a blowout for either team. I expect the defenses will keep the offenses in check throughout the game, resulting in a close, hard-fought game with the Pats coming on top 27-23. And he says, win or lose, it's been a great season, both as a Pats fan and a fan of the show. And thank you, John, and the rest of the crew for doing it. You're welcome, Howard, and thank you for the participation. Because without you, it doesn't happen. John, in the new great white north of Pennsylvania, he says, I have a score prediction for you. I think it's going to be a defensive struggle on both sides. Both teams will play conservatively for the majority of the game. The Pats D will do its job. I'm counting on a big game from Big Vince, and the score, 24-10. Patriots. Thank you, John in Pennsylvania. Pat in Agawam, Mass. Rook, great to hear you during Super Bowl week. I wanted to make a couple of big predictions for Sunday. I wasn't able to get on the air the past 2 weeks. One, Gronk will have a big game and become the first tight end to win a Super Bowl MVP. I equate this to Super Bowl 43, when the Steelers' vaunted D knew they had to stop Larry Fitzgerald, but he torched them anyway. Only we have many more weapons than the Cardinals team did then, offensively and defensively. Two, Julian Edelman will become the first player in Super Bowl history to return a punt for a touchdown. You know, Russell Baxter mentioned that in the opening hour of the program. He also thinks that could be a key factor in this game on Sunday. I know it's not prediction Thursday, but I am predicting 38-21 Patriots. And that's all I got. One family, he says. There you go. Max, it's out there again. Hashtag one family. Sean in New Hampshire. ESPN LA had Glazer on Tuesday, and he said it's a nothing story for now. I'm telling you. I'm talking about the balls going into the bathroom for 90 seconds and the video that sees the ball boy coming out again, the ball attendant come out again. If Bill comes out in the red cutoff, I'm going to be prepared for the celebration as soon as I see him because this is a vindication season. It's payback time in Arizona. Gronk is going to crush Cam, 6'3 and 230, like Sergio, who Gronk threw out of the club. That 12 pounds of muscle only means Cam will reach the cameraman's tripod and not the truck. New England is going to be highly motivated, especially Chandler Jones, because he wants to be a champ like his brother. Okay. Thank you, Sean. Jeff's in Calgary, and he says, You took my prediction, John. I've been thinking about it since the end of the Colts game. 23-20 for New England is also the exact score I came up with. They're away from their precious home field in Seattle and taking away an offense's top weapon has always been a specialty of Bills. He's successfully done it with much worse defenses than we have this year. I don't think Wilson has a chance of winning this game if he has to drop back and make throws all night. Could probably write you a full essay on all the reasons why I think the matchup favors New England, but I'm sure the rest of those points will be hit on by you and the listeners by the end of the program. And also, thanks to Russell for the free T-shirt giveaway he ran on Sunday. Looking forward to receiving that in the mail. Good. You are welcome. This one comes from Casey in South Caicos, Turks and Caicos Islands. Oh, come on. For real? Thanks, Casey. So what's up with some of these sports analysts actually supporting and having no problem with the way Marshawn Lynch handles his interviews? Every other player has to do it, so what makes him so special? Who gave him the license to be a complete dink? Come on, man. Dante Hightower, when you're going to be in front of the media for the Super Bowl, please, please, please get your hair do or did or just keep the cap on, son. Looks like a ball of lint in front of those in front there, boss. Talking football, I'm a bit concerned with the read option with Marshawn and Russell. I think the Chiefs killed us with that earlier in the season in a beatdown which turned our team around. But we've learned from that or played a similar QB running back tandem since. Miami's done that a few times since that game in Kansas City. If we corrected what we needed to correct, I think we shut the Seahawks down. Gronk, Edelman, Blunt will shine a little bit with Amendola and LaFell sprinkled on top, and we take it 31-17. Thank you, Casey. Let's see what else we got. Brett in Orlando. I think this game will come down to Russell Wilson scrambling and the Patriot receivers. Gronk will get doubled. The box will be full. It'll come down to one-on-one matchups between Hawk DBs and Patriot receivers. The Pats will absolutely load the box, hold Lynch in check, largely hold the Hawk receivers in check. I'm a Pats fan. I believe the Hawks secondary will jam the Patriot wideouts at the line. Wilson will have a good day. Hawks will win 20-17. That's the second Seattle win prediction we've had. I'm a little surprised it hadn't been as much, to be honest with you. Let's see. I thought we might have had a couple of more than that, but that's fair. Debbie says, guys, Giselle and the kids are sick. Brady has the same thing. Yes, he said he has a cold, but he says it won't impact him in the game. Get well soon, Brady family. Love you all. Gustavo says, yes, we will bring win it all, bring out the bubbly bottles, turn on the fireworks, turn off the lights. Seattle, because your party is over. 27-24 Patriots. All right. Patriots win 30-10, says Harold, in Thousand Oaks, California. Let's see if I got any other predictions here. Brian in Vermont, he didn't give a prediction. I'll save that for the PFW guys. Did Martin give here? Nope, PFW. All right, we'll hold on to all that. Oh, here's one from Kashif in Jamaica, another good warm place. John, I know you're keeping warm, staying safe on the roads. My superstition levels are at an all-time high, and every morning I wake up thinking it's Sunday. Throughout this week, I think there's something wrong with me. My focus is on the offensive line. If these guys do their job, we should be looking good in this match. He says, my prediction, 24-20 Patriots. Okay. Thank you, Kashif. I appreciate that. Let's see. Rephrased on since the tweet. 44-7 Patriots. Josh says Pat's going to win it 28-24. Whoa, that's a big one. Let me get a couple of Facebook posts before we hand it off to the PFW. Are the PFW guys there? Not yet? Okay, not yet. All right, we got a few minutes to go here. I got time to get in some Facebook posts. Let me refresh the page here. Jonathan, yeah, he sent a picture of Darth Belichick. Nice. All right, here he goes. He says, Patriots 45-17, Tom Brady MVP. I believe this will be an emotional game. Patriots have a lot to prove. Seattle susceptible to tight end touchdowns in the red zone. They're unable to defend the short passes. We've had a couple of callers already bring that point out. Two categories the Patriots flourish in. Hashtag one family. Shannon says, as much as it pains me to say this, my prediction is the Seahawks will get up over the Pats 31-20. All right, well, there's three for the Seahawks. I hope like hell I'm wrong, but if Seattle carries over their momentum from the end of the NFC Championship game and the Patriots get too complacent after the whitewash of the Colts, I don't think it's going to end well in New England. Arlene says, proudly wearing my Pats shirts and sweatshirts every day, love our team. Nick in Vegas, I'm going to go on record right now. The Seahawks think they're a better than they really are, and let's see if I'm right. Brandon says, John, can't call in, but I want to fire off a debate during the show. Well, okay. If we didn't already do that, you can do that with the PFW guys. Let's see what else we have here. Mary Beth says 27-24 Patriots. Benjamin says 30-19 Patriots. Have we found our PFW guys in Arizona? What's up, fellas?
Hey, John, what's going on?
We're good. I don't ever get to do it from this vantage point.
I know. You're now our lead-in, huh?
Shocking. I hope I didn't ruin your audience.
No, from what I hear, you had a great show.
We were chock full, as you would well imagine, Fred. So what's coming up today? What are you guys going to talk about? Are you guys still at the team headquarters?
Yep, we are. We had full access today, which means all the coaches, all the players, Bill Belichick. So, you know, it was all hands on deck this morning talking to everyone. So we'll go over some of the things said today and the mood of the team and how Tom Brady's cold is and all that.
Can you tell how his cold is?
You know what? Honestly, I think I can, believe it or not, because I saw him wiping his face with a handkerchief during his session. And if it's anything like what I had, he's now in the stage where he's kind of sweating it out. So the fever's probably broken, and that's what we're seeing. And I'm being completely serious, by the way. And so he's probably on the last stages of it because I just got over it myself.
I have to admit that, you know, many, many years ago, and I never obviously even close to the kind of level that these guys are playing, I always felt like, you know, if I was sick, it was actually better for me to play. I always, for some reason, I always played better. And certainly I've done the same thing as a broadcaster with, you know, trying to bring a little can of Lysol along and spray the microphones along because you don't want to infect anybody else. But I've always performed better when I was a little under the weather. And I think it's because it causes you to focus.
Yeah, sometimes I agree. You know, I played some sports myself, and you do sometimes when you were sick, you had your best days. But if he had the flu that I had, That's a tough one. So let's hope that what I'm saying is accurate and he's on the final stages of it.
Agreed. All right, so what's your gut instinct telling you, Freddie? I mean, all honesty, I actually think the matchups really look solid for New England. Seattle is a very good football team, but if the Patriots don't shoot themselves in the foot, so to speak, I think they're in pretty good shape.
I do, and I think the Patriots need to not shoot themselves to keep this a game because I think the Seahawks have enough on defense to really give the Patriots offense trouble. That said, I think the Patriots have enough, you know, variables on offense to kind of keep the Seahawks defense on their heels if they execute properly. And I think there's no way to not think this is going to be a hell of a game and very close. And both teams, I think that first quarter is going to be absolute bedlam.
Yeah.
I think guys are going to come out flying, and the team that's kind of survives that first quarter might have the edge, but I think it's just going to be all hell break loose in the first quarter.
I would agree with that assessment. All right, and if you can maintain your sanity and keep it all in front of you, then you can still, you know, can withstand whatever the Seahawks are throwing at you early. I think it's even more important, though, for this team to get a jump on Seattle because Seattle, you know, even though they did come from behind largely late against Green Bay, I still think they would rather be in that position as opposed to having to come back themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you want to play from a lead, but I'm telling you, this, every time you say, well, if they can just do this and if the Seahawks can do that, you unpeel another layer of the onion and you see where the other team could counter that. So this is a dream matchup, and, you know, it's a shame that some nonsense took precedent early, but now that we're talking football, everyone's realizing that these are truly the two best teams in the NFL going at it like the way it should be.
All right, good stuff. All right, so you guys are all coming up next, and we're all dug out here, Fred. They're carting the snow out of the Gillette Stadium parking lot and carting snow away from my home in Berkeley, so we're really happy about that. And
that's great.
Yeah, but we had 30 inches, so hopefully it'll be all gone by the time you guys get back.
Well, all of Patriots Nation appreciates you coming in and doing this, John.
Listen, it was, believe me, I wanted to do it because it's tough when you sit there, you know, snowbound and everything. Although it's not tough, you know, at home for me to be with my girlfriend, as you well know. But
Hey now. Yeah. we're talking cranberries.
Yes, big time cranberries here. Right. It's been a cranberry fiesta. All right,
clean it up a little, will you?
I'm trying, but see, you know, I'm not used to this setting the precedent for you guys. I always have to follow your act.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
All right. PFW in Progress is coming up next, live from Patriots team headquarters in Arizona. Thanks to Zach Lane for manning the controls here. Again, tomorrow we won't be here. At least the playbook won't be here because I've got the basketball commitment, the game because of the snow out last night got switched. So that's why that goes right up against the 4 p.m. time. I'm sure we'll have probably a repeat of this program on tomorrow. But we will come back next week, win or lose in the Super Bowl, to wrap up the entire football season. So stick around for that, and stick around. PFW in Progress coming up next right here on Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2